Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Now on today's program, my good gracious, I kind of loved this. It's Eraser. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cavan.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in, as always.
Hi. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. Thanks.
Hi. Yes. Hi. The summer blockbuster extravaganza finally gets to Arnold Town. We're pulling into Arnold Station, ready to look at all the Arnold sights.
No ticket.
And this is a racer. Coming at the gym, coming in the showers.
It's terrific. I'm constantly coming in public.
It's a Eraser is the film from the great year of 1996.
Can I just put a pause on here?
Yeah.
Well, hang on a second. I got one last detail here.
God.
What?
Directed by Chuck Russell. All right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The movie calls him Charles, by the way.
Nah,
Chuck
I don't.
To his friend.
No. I don't. I call him Chuck. I call him Chuck at every Christmas party.
All right. So pause the episode if you're listening.
No.
The hosts are going to talk amongst ourselves. This is not for you. Skip ahead 15. What were you saying, Steve?
Why is it called Eraser and not the Eraser?
Because
Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Eraser. Boom, bam.
I go on top of the pencil.
Yeah.
I'm the little pink dot. I don't know, because that's...
I'm going to rub you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
You think you might never need me. You might be brash enough to grab a pen, but no, one day you need the Eraser.
Well, no, it's like what Justin Timberlake in Social Network. It's just cleaner that
yeah.
way.
Yep, Sean. Whatever.
Take Sean, the
Sean,
off.
Yeah. Sean MySpace walks up to Arnold. It's like, how about just Eraser,
dude? I think
wasn't it Sean Napster?
Yeah. Sean Spotify, dude. Use the alliteration.
God. Oh, right,
Sean Spotify.
But here's the thing. Then the Eraser can go up against the Equalizer.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
Get Denzel in here. Eraser, the Eraser versus the Equalizer as a franchise.
What is the Eraser?
No, it's not. Oh, a whole franchise.
Yeah, the Eraser would have had to hold on for about a decade.
What is it? What is an Equalizer? Because I know like an Eraser is a household item at the, you know, like.
The Equalizer was a TV. That's one of those TV shows that nobody watched that they insisted become a movie.
Oh. I mean, it's just Denzel with a watch beating people up.
That Antoine Fuqua movie with Denzel, first one, the sequel's coming out or might already be out, who even knows. It was based off a television show?
It's a TV show.
How old is this show?
80s.
This is like, yeah, that's
really?
Right.
Yeah. I think that there's a part in, I want to say it's Wolf of Wall Street with Rob Reiner, where he's like, the equalizer is on. Like, that's his gag.
Weird. I had no idea.
He's on the phone with DiCaprio, and he's yelling at him.
Secondarily. Equalizer, or the equalizer, the eraser. Uh-huh. Can we get Ray Winstone as the multiplier?
Oh, sure. Or the calculator.
No, multiplier, because he makes everyone bigger.
Well, with food?
Oh, I'm going to make you so fucking fat. It's me. It's the multiplier.
I'm cooking up a meal.
Yeah, he's the cook.
For the both of us.
He's the cook.
Oh, right. So the eraser and the equalizer come back.
The cook is under siege.
That's Stallone. Right. You got to talk to
the
captain.
That's Seagal.
Yeah, they got to talk to the captain.
Hey, Arnold, here's a bottomless bowl of gumbo. I'm just going to keep refilling it.
Oh, this is fantastic. When can you start?
I don't know, man. Kind of sounds like this franchise might be a little forced.
Yeah, just a touch.
Maybe. This was the first time I'd ever seen this movie. It was one of those, like, video store. I've seen the cover. I've seen the poster a thousand fucking times. I'm a big Arnold fan, and somehow I just totally missed it. Oh boy, was I fucking grinning ear to ear the whole time last night. Wow. This movie's a lot of fun.
Me and Chris Cabin are in the theater club.
Yes, we are.
Oh, you guys are eraser bros?
We both saw it in the theater like a decade before we ever met.
Oh man, so Chris Cabin, you're a huge fan of seeing this movie.
Oh, theaters. Yeah. I'm a big fan of seeing it.
If you want to distill quickly the plot of this film for folks.
The Distiller. It's Burt Reynolds.
I'm making moonshine. Yeah, it's in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, I kicked some guy's teeth in. Yeah, so what?
See, now we're making a cinematic universe. So we've got
Charles Bronson, The Mechanic, right?
Yes.
Oh, that one actually happened.
I'm the mechanicker.
Yeah, I'm American.
I call it a Ken Starshine.
So no,
I fucked her.
So what is the eraser?
Distill the eraser.
So
little pencil shavings in there for flavor.
Vanessa Williams is trying. It steals evidence from her corrupt defense contractor job.
Sure.
Yes, Halliburton.
From Cyrez. Cyrez is the name of the place, I think.
Cyrex.
In the script, it was Cyrex, and then I guess there was an actual company called Cyrex, and they were like, hey, that's not fair.
So we go with Cyrez.
They had to go back, but they had already made the movie, and they had to go back and dub everybody.
Are you serious?
And digitally alter all the fucking signs.
Who narked on the eraser, by the way?
No, I think maybe somebody just, like, caught wind of it, or maybe saw the preview.
I want an insider type movie about that.
Cyrex erased the eraser. It's incredible.
This goddamn Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is going to take us down. So, the kindly people at Cyrex.
Much more importantly, she has to come under the protection of a super agent who knows what.
John Krueger.
John Krueger.
He's
the
U.S.
eraser.
Marshal.
And yes, before you ask, Freddy is my brother, okay? And he got into some trouble. I am not my brother. It's fine.
He's under U.S. Marshals, but his witness protection is his main gig.
Yes.
But he also has something to do with Shadow Co. or something.
What is Shadow Co?
Excuse me?
It's a company that fucking corrupt shit James Caan ran.
Oh.
He's like, oh, remember our days in like Shadow Company or something?
Well,
like
I think
that.
This is like some Eric Prince shit right here.
Yes,
because this is like the mid to late 90s. We were kind of getting hip to this idea of like, hey, we can hire out all these fucking war fanboys for cheap and have them do the dirty work.
They call me the eraser. I erase villages. Oh, I guess I could do stuff with witness protection.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
Half of Vietnam, that was me.
Yeah, I used to be called the pillager, and now I'm the eraser.
I hunted an alien out in the Amazons, took his head back with me.
That's kind of awesome if it's Arnold, like an Arnold character in a job interview, and he's going over the resume, and it's just different adventures from different Arnold movies. Like, yeah, one time my daughter was kidnapped and taken to South America. I killed approximately 200 people during that mission.
It's like July 2nd to August 8th. That's what I was doing. It's like, it's just like weekly adventures.
For a short time in 1994, I came out of a movie screen in wore a red shirt.
It's this shot of this nerd trying to fill out his card and being like, number of kills, and says like, zero. Bigger eyes, another zero. Bigger eyes, another zero.
$2 million. So this movie starts, though, by the way, which is why it should be called The Eraser. It's him getting ready for erasing. He's get it like the ceremonial boots. It's like the beginning of a Batman movie.
Dude. There's even a shot of him. It's a close up on an actor's waist. Cannot confirm that it's Arnold.
Sure.
And he sort of like turns his waist to face the camera and buckles a knife belt. Uh-huh. It's a suiting up montage. It's awesome. And I'm like, this is getting good already.
It comes in handy.
It does.
Absolutely. It comes in handy.
And he wears a ninja mask, which he only wears once, unfortunately. Yeah. I would like more, because it's Ninja Arnold. What happens is...
Mr. Sadak, was this not just a ski mask?
It had like a ninja bent to it.
Did it really?
Yeah. Are you saying that just because it's the guys who tried to kidnap the three ninjas wore it?
Yes. Oh my God. The three ninjas is a stay tuned. And by the way, also, The Hunted with Christopher Lambert. Jesus.
So yeah.
He's got ninja action.
Quite a lot of that.
So Robert Pastorelli is about from Murphy Brown fame.
Yes.
He was her painter, Elvin, I want to say his name was.
R.I.P.D.
Oh, yeah, he died.
He's been dead for over a decade.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, he died OD'd. on the set of the film? Or?
No, he died in 2004. He OD'd on heroin.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah.
It's a shame. And he is a mob informant that got caught up with. They're about to, like, cut his tongue out, basically. Him and his wife, Melora Walters, only one scene.
Oh, was that her? Yeah. I thought, also, though, possibly a Gumara situation.
Oh, yeah,
I don't really
possibly.
Know. There's no confirmation either way if there was wedding bells or pasta shared.
Well, she's definitely going with him, so I feel like it's bigger than a Gumara. That's just my judgment.
Bigger than a Gumar. That'd be a good TV show.
Yeah.
But The Eraser.
Hey, Bravo. You know,
yeah, I was just going to say that's a Bravo
she's
show.
She's not quite a wife, but she's not quite a Gumar.
She's bigger than a Gumar. Yeah. But it's all tall women. That's the idea.
Yeah.
It's
like, oh, yeah.
Like five,
a giant woman. A giant Gumar. She's bigger than a Gumar.
Okay, but we're only going to let you have 8 seasons.
All right, fine. You can have a Christmas special and a getting out of jail special.
All right, pretty stingy, Bravo.
I shunked the Gumar.
So the Eraser's thing is he's supposed to go and fake kill you so that like no one thinks you're around anymore.
Yeah.
But also, like, he is breaking so many necks in this scene.
Now, here's my thing. It's not the initial witness protection, act of protecting a witness. It's like when they fuck up.
Yeah.
Because this is what's hilarious is Robert Pastorelli, they're like, your cover was blown because you went to Luigi's, dude. And, like, he's fucking, what is he? He's like, I had to have the gabagool.
The ossobuco.
Oh, the ossobuco, excuse me.
Unless this is an international syndicate he's bringing down, you let that guy die.
And also, this guy has to get out of the East Coast, period. Like, I'm not talking, like, if it's New York, New Jersey, I can't tell where he's from. He's not going to Philly. He is going to Arizona.
Totally. Like, you were
welcome
in Arizona,
to Arizona, yes.
Ketchup and egg noodles like a schnook, the whole thing. I don't know why they moved him, like, 30 miles.
He should be able to take the fucking commuter rail to Luigi.
It's fine. You know, New York, New Jersey, Italian guys. Well, they all kind of look alike. Come on.
You'll blend in amongst your own people.
See, instead of wearing your Giants jersey, you wear a Jets one. No one will know it's you.
So it's your new identity. No longer are you Vinny Gambelli from the Bronx. Now you're Vincent Gombelli from New Brunswick. So there you go. I mean, they'll never
figure it. It's like a world away.
I used to be known as Vinny No Holes. And now who am I?
Hey, Vito, I thought I saw Vinny the other day on the street, but he wasn't wearing a Giant sweatshirt. He was wearing a Jets sweatshirt. That dude we called dead wearing a Jets sweatshirt.
Just another Vinny. That's another TV show.
That's it.
So he comes in. There's some really great neck breaks. My favorite of which is the refrigerator one.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fucking, it is Jason Voorhees style neck breaking.
There's a couple Jason Voorhees situations here. There's the one where the dude opens the front door and Arnold picks him up by piano wire and the guy disappears. He's never seen again.
He eats him like Yoshi.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. It's like he pulls him up and the shot just holds on this door and then you just hear like, and he just burps.
I went camping when I was young and I died. I became a monster.
I think they got that move from The Professional. And like, I believe that as Jean Reno, who's like this sleek killer, yeah. I just can't imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger like tiptoeing on a seat on the roof.
He's wearing a ninja mask, Chris.
Just because he has a ninja mask, I understand.
They should just put
soft
like,
shoes too.
For sneaking.
Put a plow on the front of this guy, right?
That he should be the plow. I'm the plow man, and I'm pulling you over.
He just has to set down a bunch of pillows on the roof.
Yeah, he takes some dude's face, closes the freezer, and then shoves him, and it's like,
yep.
And you hear it, and you feel it.
Oh, yeah. And what's great is you can tell that this guy enjoys thinking outside the box in these situations.
Outside
normally,
the icebox.
It would be like, put the head in, slam the door repeatedly until this dude is dead. And he's like, you know what would be funnier? Gently close it and then push the dude's body and snap his neck that way. Oh, man. Creative kills.
So he saves Robert Pastorelli and Melora Walters. He burns he has all these corpses in his car. I want to see Grave Robber Arnold. I want to see the beginning of this.
That's the thing. This is like a this operation is a shambles. They say later, him and James Caan later talk about the fact that like he has to smooth it over with the local morgue because they've been stealing
he just broke
corpses.
In. He didn't call anyone
every time,
or anything.
And you've been doing this for what seems like years, so you've been stealing these corpses constantly from the same fucking morgue?
Sometimes just for pleasure.
Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Ted from Gambelli's funeral home. Yeah, your father is missing and presumed erased. So it'll just be a closed coffin then.
They left a $50 bill just right there on the pad.
Yeah, I smoothed it over.
Left them the tip.
When can you start, corpse? Hey, corpse, get ready to
look. He's just talking with the dead bodies, moving their mouths around.
Oh, man. That's when he's off the clock and he's bored in his apartment.
Stole two bodies, like two, by himself, presumably.
I lost count, though, and if someone could explain this to me, this would be fantastic, because he goes out to the car, he gets these two body bags with corpses in them, right? Uh-huh. So he goes back in to the house. He makes Robert Pastorelli and Melora Walters put like fake blood. Mm-hmm. They lay down. He takes some photos of them.
Sure.
Yes. And then like he burns the house down, which is awesome. Uh-huh. But then does he put one of the dead assassin's corpses back in the body bag? Because he carries a body bag back out.
He puts, there's three assassins. Uh-huh. One goes in a body bag with him because he knows he's going to need it for later.
Save it for later.
For nom noms.
That's what it's got to be, right?
Because he's hungry. He's like doing Jeffrey Dahmer
shit. And then the other two he's got on the lawn. One of them has those pictures in his pocket.
Yes, he pretends that like one shot the other and they
but
turn on
I mean,
each other.
You just pick up a corpse if you're doing errands. You don't know, you know what I mean? Like you grab the mail you have to go to the post office with. You grab a corpse in case you have to erase somebody.
Yeah.
Well, and then you grab like, you know, dog food and stuff on the way.
A walking corpse.
Yeah. Well, that's a walking corpse.
I thought he was going to be nice and bring like a corpse back. You take two, bring one back. But of course, no, he's using this for a whole other.
Why is my grandfather like 30 years old? Now, this funeral.
Look, it's been erased. I'm sorry. I erased your grief. So he explains you've been erased, blah, blah, blah. And if you, and like Robert Pastorelli, like, because I think this is a fine scene, but I don't think I need Robert Pastorelli later in the movie. And he's like, don't worry, Arnold. You ever need anything, you just come to me. If you need anything, you come to me. And Melora Walters is like, why do you keep saying that? He's like, no. And he's like, Melora Walters, if you say, you should set your character up too for later. Like,
don't you want to be in the movie later?
Melora, Mr. Russell told me he's going to put me in the movie later. He said he's gonna get a whole scene with me.
I'm fine with him coming back.
I kind of
am.
It throws this movie even further into camp, which is good.
Yeah, but that's
so fair. Then we cut to Vanessa Williams. She's working for, as we said, Cyrex, whatever. It's a gun place. And like, she's doing what seems to be the worst undercover work that I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
this fucking pin she's wearing is It's a fucking, it's a steady cam.
Well, dude, it's like Homer's big sombrero with the camera, and it's so bad. And I
pretend like the pin isn't there.
Blame Roger Sterling over that.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Yeah, a young John Slattery. Yeah.
Dude, this is great. My wife pointed out this was kind of the only time that John Slattery didn't have super white hair, but here it's just gray.
Yeah.
So this dude has gone beyond, he has transcended having gray hair.
Yeah.
It is now just this white-haired fox.
And Hank Azaria's partner in Gross Point Blank is another one of the guys.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes.
Deep pull. Is that the
black guy?
Yeah, that's the black guy.
That guy, I know him as Mr. Trick from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sure.
So they're like monitoring her. You know, she goes into her office. She puts in a little earpiece. She's got this hilariously huge brooch that has a camera in it. And her whole thing is she has to go into this vault, and they want her. These guys are the FBI, and they have secured some access codes. They give her the codes and say, hey, go in, grab all this information using these codes.
Make little mini CDs.
Dude, mini CDs. I couldn't believe it. It was like staring through time.
But how much does this evidence matter in trial? The video. Oh. The video evidence.
No,
nothing. I think it's just it might be just for them to help guide her. I guess.
They want to.
Even though she works there,
even though she knows exactly what she's doing.
But I think it's for the convo that she gets on tape with Cromwell. Well,
I think it's for cinema purposes. Yeah, usually probably. A wire is audio. Right?
Yeah, you wouldn't need a camera.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I see what your point is. Oh, yeah. Bit of I don't really know.
Like, you just need the fucking the disc. That's all they need.
And like Slattery and everybody in the other room are like, oh, she's got to get out of there. She's only got 30 seconds, 20 seconds. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then she gets called. You know, the last thing you want to do is get called into your boss's office after you try and incriminate the
company.
She
mentioned that she makes two discs.
Oh, right.
Point. Yes.
Yes. And she goes up and James Cromwell... in a hilarious one-off. I mean, this is a great scene.
Oh, wow. This was the moment. Well, one, a house exploding in like the first 5 minutes was a pretty good sign.
Sure.
But this scene... by the time it was over with, I was like, this may be one of the greatest movies of all time. Because Cromwell is like the boss of this company, and he's like, hey, what the fuck were you doing in that vault? Mm-hmm. And he goes up, finds the brooch camera like immediately, and she's like, yeah, listen, this is the FBI. You're totally fucked right now. James Cromwell pulls out this gun, and he points it at her, and you're like, oh, okay. And I'm sitting there like, I remember Vanessa Williams being on the cover of this VHS box. Not James Cromwell, though. And he does the classic movie, like, like prolonged scream before putting a gun in his mouth.
I kind of get it, though. It's like, you're the reason I'm killing myself, and I will traumatize you forever.
Right. If I pull this gun on you and make you piss your pants before I commit suicide, if that's my last act... okay.
He lays it on pretty thick. Honestly.
Bud Dwyer, this famous suicide that did a similar thing.
But then also, I guess they're in such a high part of a building.
This is amazing.
And he shoots the back of his brains out and he hits the window and you get like a suction. We're on an airplane for some reason.
Dude, I wanted his body to get sucked out.
It was a windy day. Can you imagine?
And it also seemed like there were 30 people on the other side of the door waiting for him to commit suicide because they run it into like a surprise party.
Well, maybe it was like they heard him yelling things like "You've ruined us all."
And then they're like, "Wait, what's that?
You did this to me?" Or maybe it was just like in those few seconds where it was the and they're like, "Oh, that sounds like a pre-suicide scream."
There was a moment of that was like, "Enough with the games" or whatever. Like we're past that.
Yeah,
I think that like somebody on the other end was like, "Oh shit, am I not gonna get my bonus?"
Or maybe I'm getting a promotion.
Oh, yeah.
If everybody moves up one, we're all getting a promotion.
Yeah.
The guy at the top killed himself.
This seems like an in-house incident.
So, you know, she now knows that she goes back to the FBI. They're like, basically, you're fucked. Here is the Eraser, who is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And Arnold is not too happy with the FBI, which is pretty great. He's like... oh, yeah, I bet you told her it was going to be a cakewalk, huh? You didn't tell her life would be in danger.
Getting that mini disc, it's very dangerous.
And Slattery's just like,
Yeah, sorry, Arnold.
Well, this is in the Greg tradition of him getting two awesome names.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, in Commando, isn't his name like John Matrix?
Yes, John Matrix. Exactly. Yep.
So, I plug into that.
So he's both Commando and John Matrix in that movie.
Yeah.
And in this, he's both Eraser and John Krueger.
Yeah. John Krueger, man.
That's great.
My brother had some problems. Look, who among us can't say they had problems?
Yeah, you know, I think every family.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Has one child killer among them, okay? Let's not single out the Krueger family.
Do you want to talk to me, or do you want to talk to Hard Copy?
Look, he burned alive. What else do you want? He's dead.
Look, I've never set foot in Springwood.
I already gave my statement to the police, and that is all I'm going to say on the matter.
Can the spirit of my brother haunt the dreams of the living teens of that town? Who am I to say? All I know is I'm the Eraser. I do a completely different line of work.
No, I have nothing to say about the passing of John Saxton.
And listen, okay? I'm not going to lie. Yes, my brother helped me on some cases. I made him kill people in sleepy time.
Anytime I had to deal with teenagers, I will call my brother because he's really good. He's really good at that.
I know. I have no idea about his beef with someone named Jason.
And yes, it's a ghost phone. I talk to him on a ghost phone.
Ghost phone.
That's how I talk
to
him.
Dude, this would be a career low. Arnold Schwarzenegger stars in Ghost Phone.
I would see it 1,000 times.
No,
you got Krueger. Hey, hey, brother.
They're just doing the dishes today. How are you doing?
I'm looking for big change in Sacramento.
I can't go to Sacramento. That's too far.
Dude, that'd be great. Freddy Krueger getting fooled by an Arnold soundboard.
I told you, I don't know my father, and I don't know what he does.
I'm a cop, you idiot. Come on.
Well, congratulations.
Detective John Kimble.
So, what is that supposed to mean to me?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I'm getting outraged here, pal. I'm going to hang up in another 5 minutes.
Stop
calling me.
Such a girly man.
You believe this shit?
You son of a bitch.
That's it. I'm hanging up right now. I swear to God, I'll do it.
Nice to see you.
All right, that's it. I don't even know what that means.
he wants to erase her, but she declines protection, right?
Fucking stupid as fuck. What are you kidding me? She almost didn't get out of this office building.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All these goons are running after her. Well, and yeah. this is weird because it's like this company's private security guards or whatever are running up against the FBI in this van. And the FBI doesn't just... Because, like, the whole thing is tits up at this point.
Sure.
They should get out of the van and be like, we're the FBI. Go fuck yourself, puny security guard.
She gets 24 floors down and out the fucking door before they know about it.
Yeah, they're not great.
It's a fucking piece of shit outfit.
But, like, they are driving away with the door open, and they're like, run! Get the van! I'm like, you're the FBI! These are security guards!
I think the idea was no one else knew that what the FBI had was the idea, so you don't want to blow your cover.
Oh, I see.
So you have to pretend to be a laundry truck or whatever.
It's kind of great because, like, as she gets away, they close the door to the van, and one of the security guards kind of, like, kicks the side of the van or whatever. It's pretty awesome.
So she declines... But the weird, we also meet James Caan, who's Arnold Schwarzenegger's boss and
mentor.
Boss and mentor. And then James Caan's boss is
James Coburn.
James Coburn. James
this
Coburn.
Was one of those, like, I keep forgetting that, like, James Coburn
is in the movie. Well, he keeps disappearing.
Well, that. But I mean, also, just the fact that James Coburn. Unlike some actors we've covered on this show, James Coburn lived to see 9/11. James Coburn's one of those guys that wasn't as old as I always thought he was. Like, he was only born in 1928.
Did he hang glide off the tower?
What you yeah, I'm glad no, you checked
just,
your list.
I'm just saying, like, I think of the movies that James Coburn, you know, was in over the years, like Big Western Star and whatnot. He's in, like, The Great Escape, Magnificent Seven and shit. I just forget that he lived this long. Yeah. Like, he didn't die until 2002.
The 90s era, man. Well, big... There was Payback and others.
Didn't he get, I don't know if he won, but he got a lot of Oscar attention for Affliction in 99.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Paul Schrader's Affliction.
What are you, my dad?
I think he did win for that, and Nolte was like nominated.
Any MTV Movie Award noms?
For Ben Hawk.
No, for Best Kiss, him and Nolte.
But like, my dad get drunk yet?
James Coburn is in fucking Monsters, Inc. Like, My brain did not register that he lived that long. And he pops up in this movie looking great. Also, like, he only died at 74. Yeah. So I'm looking at him like, hey, you look fucking fantastic.
He was great, man.
Not enough Coburn in this movie, though, man.
It's like the opposite of Matthau. He's younger than you thought he was, as opposed to always older.
Walter Matthau was like a stalled-out Benjamin Button, I think was the deal. He was like, oh, I suppose I'll just start looking younger over time.
I'm stuck. It stopped.
Wait, I was starting to look a little younger, and well, that was about 15 years ago that stopped.
Summer of Love, and I'm still 68.
Lick my bunghole, motherfucker.
Still the first white prune every day in the mirror.
So we cut to Vanessa Williams' house. She's like just making dinner, like after a long day. She wants to find out what's on the disc. When she tries to activate it, lets Cyrex know that she's still in business. So they send a murder squad over to her house. Murder squad has super guns, and we should talk about the super guns.
The super gun is kind of like the MacGuffin of this movie because Lee Cullen, which is Vanessa Williams' character in this movie.
He's a vampire. He sparkles, right?
Yes. She was stealing schematics for this weapon. And this thing is like the scope... is kind of like an X-ray scope, and you can see people's like beating hearts.
It's two incredible inventions. Get that X-ray off that gun and use it for other purposes.
I know. My God, the things that you can do in medicine with this.
Okay, this is the rail gun. Are we also talking about the super gun that is the grenade that shoots screws?
No. Because that's unfortunately that. Amazing piece of science fiction technology was only used once in the movie
and kind of just brushed off.
That's a Harry Potter spell that they just shot out of a cannon.
It looks like you're trying to get the little thing in Quidditch. Like it opened up, it like flies up in the air and like opens up like a Guillermo del Toro music box and shoots all these screws everywhere.
This shrapnel, it's crazy. It goes right through Arnold's arm. He's got it stuck to a refrigerator at one point. It's a lot of refrigerator trauma in this movie.
Yeah, poor refrigerators, man.
Quite a lot of it.
But I don't think the Whirlpool guy can watch this movie.
The gun, by the way, is powered by an electromagnetic pulse or something. And the biggest or something of the movie, it can fire around at the speed of light.
Close to. And that's what I love, that one little screenwriting detail. You totally can tell that it was like, they fire rounds at the speed of light. And someone was like, you know, that sounds a little improbable. Why don't you have her say close to the speed of light? As if it's less ridiculous.
Oh, so James Cromwell also invented warp drive here.
Oh, right. That guy can't help it. That's what that pig is doing in Babe. He's like, all right, pig. Let's send you into hyperspace.
Right, all the methane shoots out of that pig's behind, and it sees Zephyrin cocking all over again.
Funny that like not like plants aren't being ripped up around the every time the thing is shot out.
I feel like if you shoot anything close to the speed of light, you're like really knocking on Hellraiser's door. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like,
I wrote it down. It's actually, I mean, this doesn't make it any. I mean, I guess it's a little less ridiculous. It's the speed of sound.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Well, shouldn't it be then. Like a sonic boom or something? Like, this should be deafening.
Because, like, in Event Horizon, they go to hell by going through the speed of light or whatever.
Yeah, that was a sonic boom that did that, too.
Well, I think hell would definitely come into play here.
Yes, exactly. You just open up the door of hell because you wanted to shoot a bullet a little faster.
Where's my ghost phone? I need to call my brother.
Hello, the devil. There's a couple awesome details here. So in this scene, she goes to her house. Mm-hmm. There's a creepy ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Daryl,
who is in the house. That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a lot of like, you seeing somebody new? What's going on? How dare you? What are you doing at home by yourself? Like all this shit. Mm-hmm. And then so awesome. So awesome. Arnold shows up to the door as a balloon delivery man.
Yeah, at what looks like 10 p.m.
And listen, there are a couple things, like as an adult, that you can wear or carry that it's really just fucking humiliating. Like whenever you see an adult in a neck brace from an injury, like we saw a dude yesterday.
Always funny.
He's in a neck brace. It's fucking 1,000 degrees outside. This poor schmuck's just got a neck brace on.
I was gonna say, he probably doesn't want to wear that.
No. But the other for me is an adult holding a bunch of balloons.
Oh, sure.
And here is Arnold Schwarzenegger, action star Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, hi. Look at my balloons.
Well, the thing is, what I love about it is the guy, he's got the super gun. He's looking at everyone's x-rays, seeing who's got cancer, who doesn't. And he said, well, that information would be helpful to anybody, but I'm not going to use it. But Arnold just shows up with these balloons. He's like, nah, wait, is that a trouble? No, it's just a balloon guy. You know what I mean? It's like, no, wait, what are you talking about?
It's just a middle of the night balloon delivery.
I don't think that. He doesn't look at his back that says, let's party.
Yes, exactly. Like, oh, well, I guess I must have ordered some balloons.
He should have a bullseye on his back.
He should wear that jacket throughout the entire film.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
he probably took that from the production. He probably has that at home.
You?
I would too. Yeah. That would be my pick.
So this assassin.
Explosion coming up.
Oh yeah, this is again.
0-for-2 in houses.
This again was just further sealing the deal for me with this movie and my love for it. So this dude is getting ready to fire. Like so what happens is the doorbell rings. Arnold is there, and this boyfriend is like, oh. Are you seeing someone? Is this here now? Let's open the door and find out. And this douchebag opens the door, and Arnold's like, get down!
Yeah, it's a classic, get down.
And he like pushes Vanessa Williams out of the way, and this dude, Daryl, gets hit with this gun. And it's, I guess, because it's going close to the speed of sound, that it, like whatever this bullet is or whatever hits him, this dude goes flying across the house and gets impaled against the wall.
It's amazing. Predator tech.
Yeah,
he
like flies up a staircase.
Well, yeah, and clearly
it
he
is
was...
like hell's coming out.
Yes,
these are ghost powers.
I think this gun was invented by the Scolari brothers.
He's also clearly buttoning a shirt that is like four sizes too big for him.
Yeah, because
when he gets shot, it just like.
it's flapping like a sail.
It's 96, Chris. It was the style at the time.
Yeah, everybody dressed horribly in the mid-90s. Yeah.
It's just Jerry O'Connell should come out of this flesh wound like, wow, I slid here. How'd you figure it out, Arnold?
Well, that's weird too, because when you see these bullets get fired, you watch these like weird CGI ripples happen.
In reality ripples.
I mean, that tells me that it's going way faster than the speed of sound. Yeah, this shit is tearing through time and space. It's fucking ridiculous.
All right, you know what, Neil deGrasse Tyson? I know we bother you all the time. Yes, you never call us back, by the way.
Yeah, you're so fucking
busy.
He refuses.
Just fact checked one scene from Eraser, either this or the alligator scene. I'll take either.
Why do we need him, though? I feel like this is a job for Mythbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. I feel like if any of these guys survived fucking Arnold's wrath, I feel like he would, like, in a week, they'd have cancer.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wait. I just got an idea of who we could call for an expert. Okay, so alligators and ghosts. Boom. Steve Irwin.
That's right.
Oh, no. Oh,
get him on the ghost phone. I know he's dead.
Okay, so somebody's got to shoot one of the bullets, and then we have to go and get him.
What if Neil deGrasse Tyson did a seance to bring forth the spirit, the everlasting spirit of Steve Irwin.
Hey, Freddy, I need you to get Steve Irwin.
I don't think you could get Neil deGrasse Tyson in a seance because he would just sit there the whole time poo-pooing it. And they'd be like, listen, Neil, it's only going to work if everybody is into it. If you're fucking around, we're going to accidentally open a doorway.
This doesn't exist. You can't do this.
No, yeah, what if the first character killed.
What if Ann Dowd approaches him in the parking lot? What if that happens? Then he's going to the
seance. She's like, oh, hey, Neil deGrasse Tyson, did you know that my son drowned?
Come over to my house. Whatever the fuck happened
in that movie.
Come on, come to my house.
I know what you're going to think. Oh, isn't this a great doormat that I've sewn for you, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
She might not be.
It says, place your space boots here.
She might not be on the level.
This is where the grenade comes in.
Yes, the super grenade.
This dude's like, my science fiction gun didn't work. I'm going to throw this science fiction egg in here.
Yeah.
This thing goes off. Like this Eric said, like one of the screws gets in Arnold's hand.
It's like some Stark Industries shit right here.
It really is.
Yeah, it explodes, and the impact is as such. Arnold's beak goes all the way around his head.
Little stars appear above him, too. Yeah.
This is humiliating.
This means war. I hope you realize this means war. It is not Austrian season.
Oh, look, he's mad.
That's what it is. It's Marvin the Martian horseshit.
Yeah, so, the guns definitely are.
This is a great Arnold move right here, man. Something I feel only the Eraser himself could come up with. To get out of this house because like these assassins are coming or
Isn't
whatever.
Isn't the Eraser just rolling off your tongue? Just the Eraser.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
All right,
instead of saying Eraser.
But
yeah.
Nobody calls him the Eraser.
That's a problem.
True, even though he's credited at the end of the film as just Eraser, even though they keep calling him John and John Kruger.
And even on
Mellencamp,
IMDb, actually.
John Kruger Mellencamp. Did it say that there?
He has a story about how I disappeared Jack and Diane. he is U.S. Marshal John the Eraser Kruger.
Oh, really? But in the end credits, it actually just says Eraser.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody from the big city is like, where are you going to put me?
Well, you're going to be in a small town. Always from the small town.
We were young and we were improving.
What were you saying, Andrea? I totally derailed you.
So he's like, all right, here's a way to get out of here. Boy, do I love blowing houses up. He fucking rips the gas line of the stove and turns the fucking thermometer all the way to max, and they book it.
I hope you have insurance.
Oh, does he say that?
No.
Oh, it would have been a good line.
He should have, because this is just really careless, because if you do this to my house, I'll be upset.
And so then these assassins get in and they're like, oh, they're not here. And something, this was weird, was like the thermometer just starts sparking for some reason.
He turned it all the way up to like 100 degrees. And I don't know, I guess at that, I guess, I don't know what, the fucking then, android inside of
well,
it is short circuit.
If you have torn something in reality, you know,
the sparks will start happening.
Right. Oh, right.
They've shot the gun. The cartoon world is coming out. We've cut right through to Toontown.
It's my arch nemesis, Daffy Duck.
Oh, no. Hey, Valiant!
Get out of the kitchen. That butcher blade is now got little legs. It's a cartoon. Cartoon knife.
It's a cartoon,
hey,
you idiot.
Arnold!
And he talked like this.
Shh, no, that's all, folks.
Yes!
Yes. Oh, man. So the house blows up.
Yes.
And I paused it. This house explosion comes 30 minutes into this movie. And I was like, holy shit. Two house explosions in the first half hour? A plus.
Well, they should
have just an A plus.
With bodies in the houses, too.
In both times, absolutely.
That's double points for me.
There should be every 30 minutes a house explodes.
Yeah.
Keep the pace.
The house eraser.
That's his new show on HGTV. Oh, no, I don't fix it up. I blow it up.
That'd be awesome.
Trump hired him in the 80s.
It's demo day.
The property brothers are just like cutesily looking over some closet space.
Yeah.
And they see him coming up the sidewalk. And they're like, no, eraser, not this one. Here comes the house eraser.
Lighting a stick of dynamite with a cigar. Every day is demo day.
One property brother's just fucking dancing like a chicken. And the other one's like, aren't we annoying?
Yep.
God, I fucking hate those guys.
I don't watch it. I watch a ton of shitty TV. I do not do I don't fuck with the Property Brothers.
Well, good for
you. Congratulations.
They fuck back.
Hey, we're the Property Brothers, and we fuck back.
I watch House Hunters, international and domestic, where it's all about couples just about to get divorced.
You are so right. You mentioned this once before, and I recently watched a couple of House Hunters International, and you were so right, because every time it's just like, well, I mean, this is what he wants to do.
It's always it's always one of them wants to move, yeah, and the other so clearly does not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I guess since we're moving to Spain all of a sudden, maybe we could be near a town? Maybe?
Yeah, oh no, House Hunters International is a real problem.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we're going to Laos. Like, why?
There was one, it was so fucking awesome, that was like some couple from like Staten Island or mm-hmm. something, and this guy's like, I've always wanted to have a place where I had my own tiki bar, and you see this dude's basement, and it's just like,
nice,
a basement tiki bar.
Nice.
So then they're like, we're gonna move to wherever the fuck, like Fiji or some shit, so I can finally have my own tiki space. And the wife is just like, he's always dreamed about this.
Yeah, exactly.
One day I watched the movie The Truman Show, and he was talking about how he wanted to go to Fiji. And I thought that was really inspiring, you know? So I said, I'm going to move to Fiji.
And life is just a TV show, right? I mean, your cameras are here. They're That's here.
It. That's it. I always liked open space kitchens. And I hate you. That's kind of how it goes.
So this house blows up. And Arnold is like, so by the way, I told my coworkers that this was going to happen. Uh-huh. They didn't believe me. Also, you should have just come with me in the first place.
Now you're erased. I have to burn your IDs. Like, if you knew your new name is Deborah or Debbie, if you'd like.
But she's like, you looked at me and you saw a Debbie, or you saw a Deborah. And he's like, I don't know Debbie. What's another form of Deborah?
There's like lots of fun.
Well, I can only think of two women names at the time.
And he puts her in Chinatown. So this is when he begins to use his network of formerly...
Debbie loves Chinatown.
Formerly erased people that are like, I steal their souls and now they are my slaves.
Like, one day I will call upon you for a favor.
Is it that or is he Batman? And these are the people he saved.
Gotcha.
Because a lot of this is about, because even says this to Vanessa Williams, it's all like temporary erasing though. Because he's like, everything will go back to normal once you testify.
Oh.
So I think it's a thing where he's like, here's this old Chinese lady. Mm-hmm. She had to testify against a triad or something.
No, they say Yakuza. They get a little mixed up there.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, they get
I
a
thought
little
I just
mixed
it up.
Yeah, because it's distinctively Chinatown, but it's also Yakuza.
I was getting so confused right here. Yeah,
maybe she was a turncoat or something.
I mean, I suppose a Chinese woman could rat out the Japanese mafia.
It depends on what's going on in your neighborhood, really.
But it was weird.
Maybe she worked for the Yakuza as, you know, as an interpreter. Who knows?
That's true.
I gotta stop thinking about this woman.
Yeah, she has one scene in the movie. Yeah. I think she's in four shots altogether. Mm. So he's like, you can hang out here while I go, like, you know, really get the scoop as to what's going down.
He does say that I will always work alone. If anyone says they work with me, use this gun and shoot them in the head.
Right. So this is where we're introduced to James Caan. Which I had never seen this movie until last night. He got about two sentences out of his mouth, and I just wrote the note, James Caan is crooked, I bet.
Yep.
And what I really appreciate about this movie is it doesn't fuck around with, like, not telling you an obvious thing that a character played by James Caan would be crooked.
Yeah.
Like, immediately in the movie, more or less, you find out that he is crooked, and it actually allows the movie to have kind of a good cat and mouse between these two characters.
I actually like the scenes with Arnold and James Caan quite
a bit.
Totally. Yeah.
Even though, because it is, and James Caan is not the world's greatest actor, but he's very good. And he is acting circles around Arnold because he's like, I don't know, John, remember? All those people, they're knocking off all of our witnesses. And, like, Arnold has to, like, watch, and it's like, beat, beat, beat. Yes, they are.
People are being murdered.
That is a bad thing, right, James Caan? Because it's just like James Caan, he's, like, doing his weird, like, dad's angry energy at everything.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Big
like
time.
That's He's a scary. I would hate to meet James Caan. I'm sure he's very nice.
No, he's probably not.
I'm sure he's a prick. I'm sure he's a total prick. Tiny, short little prick.
Because he's always Sonny Corleone. He's always just a little fucking like, come on with this bullshit.
Well, it's one of those like he's like a little he's got little dog complex.
Oh.
Like little dog complex is like when you have a tiny little dog. Wait, but
how
tall
is he?
He's a tiny dude.
Is he really a tiny dude?
I think he had like old man shrinking thing.
Oh, I see.
Faster than most. Because Sonny Corleone, he's like kind of tall.
Is he like a Benjamin Buttons too?
But I mean, he's acting against Pacino, who is exactly the size of a button.
I mean, I guess that's also true. Because then when he's in Thief, which is maybe like, 10 years after the first Godfather movie? Yeah. Like,
that's a great movie, man.
They say Thief is amazing.
He's listed as 5'9". That's got to be bullshit.
That's fake.
Pacino's listed as 5'7", which is also horseshit.
Yeah, that's a load of shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're both like 5'2", probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The exchange that lets us in on James Caan being crooked? He's on the phone with somebody?
No, it's not until we actually get to the
swamp.
But we're told that the FBI is in on it because the one guy, the nerdlinger there, like is on some phone call with the Undersecretary of Defense.
Sure.
That's how we know that this scandal goes all the way to the almost top.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's the Undersecretary of Defense, because one of the FBI guys from John Slattery's team is on the horn with this guy, and he's like, hey, this whole thing got fucked up, this woman isn't dead, yada yada, and the Undersecretary's like, yeah, well, you need to fix this, because it's something like a $52 million arms deal or something is going down.
This features one of my favorite things in all of cinema, is a crooked archivist.
Right.
He's on the take, you think.
This guy, like, it's not even set up like he's been handed money or anything. He gets the disc, the all important disc. They're like, oh man, we won the case.
Yeah.
This guy takes, he's like, doop, 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 bah, 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 pops it out, puts it in another thing. He's like, yeah, your shit's here.
But he calls from the office to immediately, like, that's a payphone situation. Yeah.
But it's a great coded message, though. It's like such an obvious thing because he's handling this mini CD, and this archivist makes the phone call, and he's like, yes, your music has been delivered.
He probably does this all the time, though. There's probably so many crooked shits going on.
Your advance of Deftones' White Pony is here.
Yes, it is their best album.
Somewhere around here, Vanessa Williams tells Arnold one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a character say in a movie. She's like, this reminds me, I think she says this to Arnold, she's like, this reminds me of when I was a kid and I used to have nightmares about dragons.
No.
Did you catch that line?
No.
I did not either. I mean, this
maybe
might
you get
be
the dragon cut.
This might be part of your own imagination, or it might be in the film. I mean, this is a nutty movie.
Arnold sets her up with like credit cards and whatnot.
Oh,
and she's
like,
what's the limit on these?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, this is not an excuse for a shopping spree. But I was like, why
this
do
is coming
you
out
them?
Of my end?
Oh, we should mention also somewhere around here, Vanessa Williams calls the actress Roma Mafia, who's playing a reporter. I feel like Eraser at one point was probably, because this movie's like almost exactly 2 hours. It probably was 2 hours and 15 minutes at one point.
Yeah.
And more of it was Roma Mafia's character playing this reporter.
Nah. Yeah.
And she's like, hey, I made 2 copies of the CD. I'm going to like get ready to tell all kind of a thing.
I think they maybe cut a kill, like a...
Well, we're told she's butchered instantly.
Old man in On Dangerous Ground-esque kill scene.
That guy gets it.
Because they say they peeled her like an onion. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit.
John Kruger does see a photo of her corpse, I think. Briefly.
Excuse me, I'm going to have to throw up.
Dude, that's how you know it's fucked up, when you show the Eraser a photo and he starts vomiting.
He starts
that's
vomiting.
That's not also Buko. Oh.
Eraser's in the back puking his guts out.
He composes himself afterwards. He's like, yeah, okay, put her in the car next to the other corpse. I might have room for her in the fridge.
Oh, I could use, or it's a woman, 40 to 50 years old, perfect. Oh, that's good. Hey, Angela, you're finally going to get erased. You've been on the waiting list forever. We finally found a donor.
donor. That dude, if you write down organ donor, you know, they're just going to do, they're going to use your corpse for erasing.
Oh, absolutely. That's what that right? means. Yeah. That's, yeah.
And this is the thing, though, man. Just do it. What am I going to care?
Yeah.
Hey, Sally, here's $50. Send this to the morgue.
He must be looking for corpses constantly.
Oh yeah,
like because you have to use them so often in your work.
Listen,
you have to like collect them as you make them.
Listen, Kevin, it ain't hard to find corpses, man.
Oh, excuse me.
He can show you a corpse right now.
Look, you just go to a hospital like after hours. It's similar to this crooked archivist.
And you slit your wrists.
You can find a crooked morgue attendant easily.
For
man.
Sure.
They all mostly work
true.
Alone. The late night shift.
They all fuck the bodies, by the way. That's another thing.
Like Arnold
You're going
comes
to
in,
get the corpses?
He's yes, Momar, I'm going to get the corpses. Arnold walks in, right? He catches some dude in the act, and he's like, I won't report you to your superior if you give me 1, 2, 4. If I can get 7 corpses out of your ice chest.
Look, my brother is going on the kill spree in Springwood again. Do you have any teenagers?
They're all stocked up there.
All right, they'll come back around prom season.
Maybe it's a tag team with Freddy. Like, Freddy kills them, and then Arnold picks up the bodies for his own purposes.
Oh, nice.
I get the corporeal, you get the soul.
Hey, you know what, bro? What am I supposed to do with some Johnny Depp goo? I can't do anything with that. You've got to give me bodies, man.
Hey, listen, bro. I am the eraser. I'm not the blender.
Yeah, so I like to eat my food blended, but I need a full body.
So he goes, James Caan. By the way, we need to just put a pin in. Vanessa L. Williams and Arnold should be romantically flirting, but this movie cuts it out quick.
Yeah. We got to talk about the airplane. Let's just go to the airplane sequence. Yeah. It's fucking fantastic.
Well, hang on, because we've got airplane, awesome scene, back to awesome airplane scene, because they go on a mission right here.
Yes.
Because Khan is like, our witnesses are being killed. Come with me. We have to go check out on my witness. Well, come if you want this witness to live. So they touch down.
Right. I forgot.
And it's like, we've called her a bunch of times. She's not picking up the phone.
This is a missed opportunity for another house explosion.
It kind of is, and I was pretty bummed out about it.
Oh, and the introduction of young Agent Deadmeat.
Yes, big time. This is almost to a T the young character in Die Hard 2 when the general is like, I wish you were with us in Nicaragua too, buddy, and he fucking murders that kid. Yeah. It's kind of this. So they touch down.
It's the same actor from The Rock, and I believe he's in Hunt for Red October. A Crimson Tide, sorry.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You said Hunt for Red October. I was like, Sean Connery.
No, it's Crimson Tide. Hunt for Red October is stupid cousin.
Yeah.
So they're like, we got to go to this woman's house and check on her. James Caan's like, she's probably just cooking and didn't hear the phone ring or something. So they go there. And it's just an awesome scene. Arnold fucking stabs a dude with a knife through a door, which is fucking great. They're taking
That's
out all
Michael
these
Michael Myers shit, FYI. Yeah.
Yeah. It absolutely is. So we have Jason Voorheesing at the beginning of the movie. We got some Michael Myersing going on.
But the best part of this scene is, so like, James Caan, he runs into the room with the woman who's being held by some goon.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, you're early. And he's like, you're not. And he shoots him.
You're late.
You're late. And the woman is just like, oh my God. He kills her. And then, like, he hears people coming, and he does, which is my favorite thing James Caan's ever done in movies, which is sarcastic CPR.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, breathe. Breathe for me.
Come on, make it.
And then he's like doing mouth to mouth and just like suffocates her with his gross mouth.
Well, this is what I don't understand.
That's
this
a
woman,
death that I don't want.
Why don't you suffocate me like that, Jed?
Hey, Jessica, this is theater kissing. That's what they call it. Right across, right next to the
My
cheek.
My mouth
right here.
Is just going to take a sleep on your face.
But then you're going to be fucking dead.
But it's weird because, like, this woman was shot in the stomach, and he's like, yeah, CPR, that'll do it. I was like, that doesn't sound right. And it's fucking great because, like, Arnold walks in, and he's like, something about this doesn't check out.
Why is your shirt off?
Also here, Arnold fucking kicks a dude out the top floor window of this house.
Sure.
Fucking classic move. And, yeah, he's...
kind of just like kissing this dying woman.
It's very uncomfortable.
It's really gross.
And then so she dies, and they just like get back in the plane like, well, she's dead.
And job well done. Arnold takes a glass of water. And I mean, like, I thought, because the Eraser is such a genius and such a, like, a, you know, master detective, he takes a, James Scott's like, hey, you want some water? And he's like, yeah, I'll take some water. And then the next guy's like, yeah, I'll take some water too. And he's like, no, you take this stuff.
Ice cold Pepsi.
I would have thought the Eraser's like, well, what the fuck's going on with this water? Like, he keeps drinking it in such an ostentatious way you think he's in on it. And he's like, I switched the button. No, he didn't.
Hey, James Caan, don't you know I love Pepsi? Why does he get the Pepsi? Maybe I wanted the Pepsi.
Yeah. It better not be the last Pepsi, James.
I won the Pepsi challenge. I missed the universe now.
Joke's on you. I take roofies every day just to match it for just such an occasion.
Great reason to fly privately, by the way. James Caan is just smoking on this jet.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's a work jet, man. This isn't commercial.
He gets drugged. He starts to pass out. And the kid, who's the young agent Deadmeat, is like, did I do a good job? He's like, yeah, kid, you got an A+. And he starts shooting him in the chest.
Dude, and there's a great move here, too. He's like, because Arnold, like falls down. The kid sees him fall down, and he's like, hey, what's going on, mister? And, you know, James Caan's like, take a seat. He flips. This is a great move. There's a bulletproof vest on this chair. He flips it up so the vest is facing the back of the chair, and then he fucking shoots this guy. Oof. He knows how to kill a person on a plane.
Hey, why would you do that? Why am I sitting on this bulletproof vest, mister? Why is you line everything with garbage bags? Yeah, I'll sit down. Oh, no. What are you wearing Kleenex boxes on your feet for? Did you take that from the Marriott? Hey, shower cap? Did you take it from the Marriott?
Hey, Mark Wahlberg, you my new roommate? Wait, what? All these papers on the ground. What do you got, a little chow or something?
Michael C. Hall, I love you.
Nobody loved Michael C. Hall in 1996.
Well, yeah, I'll hold this gun real quick. Yeah, what? But now my fingerprints are on it. Now what? What?
So Arnold, right before he passes out, like, sends a pager message to Vanessa Williams that's like, get the fuck out of there. Yeah. What I told you might happen is definitely going down.
Yes.
She knows
I imagine this is one of the last great dramatic beeper shots. I mean, at the time, it was setting.
Yeah, 96, man. It was
one of the last ones, I think.
Definitely
from a big studio.
Indies, the indies are still beeping,
the
dude?
Indies probably still
They're beeping out there?
Wasn't there a beeper in Good Time?
Well, I mean, doctors still beep.
Yeah.
Citizens, regular civilians don't beep as much as they used to.
No, drug dealers and doctors. Even drug dealers have burn ears.
I think they went to cellular.
Why the beaper with doctors?
I guess
something
you don't,
with cell phones in the hospital.
Well, I think now that they're more complex, they can actually tell them like what's going up.
Oh,
it's like a
complex
text
beeper
or something.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's better than like you got to call me, be like, hey, come to the hospital. Wait, what's going on in the hospital? You
know, it's just like I glance this on the way to the shower.
Exactly. Right. I got beeped. I better run to the hospital tonight.
So the plan is, if Arnold sends this one particular message on the beeper, she has to leave and go to a payphone outside the city zoo. It's taking place at the city zoo, which is kind of great because it's either realistically you got the Bronx Zoo, that's like the big one,
or the Central Park.
And the Central Park
Zoo. Is there
zoo.
Anything
it would
in
have
that
to be
Central?
The Central Park Zoo.
There, is there alligators there?
There better be.
I know. I mean, there's definitely CGI alligators can go anywhere.
They've got
Eric.
Like a pony and like some barnyard animals that you could pet, probably.
We're entering back to back the best scenes of the movie, which is one, Arnold escaping from this airplane.
This was awesome.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. It's fucking awesome. Like, Eraser, man, this dude's got some balls because he's like, no, you know what? I'm not even going to fucking try. I'm just going to open the door. I'm not going to try to fight you. I am just going to open the door to this airplane.
A shootout ensues and he just opens the door.
It's so great.
Changes the dynamic of the conversation.
He flips that script, dude.
He does.
First, it was a gunfight on an airplane.
Yeah.
Now, it's an airplane with the fucking door
and
open.
What's that? Because he's the strongest man in the world. He rips a seat out and throws it into the engine of the fucking plane. Like, what?
It's so awesome because he's like, how can I make this even more difficult? this plane is already losing cabin pressure. I'm going to throw a chair into the jet engine.
But those are bolted down, man. It's not a folding
Dude,
chair.
But his arms.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Those are unbolted.
This did look like some side door.
Sure.
Not a thing that a passenger would sit in. It almost looked like a
jump seat kind of a thing.
No, I thought it was going to be that. I thought it was going to be like strap himself.
Or maybe like
this
a
chair
gurney. It looked like.
Yes, it did look
like
a gurney sort of cot kind of thing.
I
mean, but anyway,
like, or maybe it was that guy's corpse. Maybe we didn't look close.
That should have. God damn it! See, that should have been it. Like he's looking around, like. What could I use that would destroy this jet engine? Oh, I know. This kid.
Something I'm familiar with. A corpse.
I have a special set of skills, which is really just moving corpses around.
But I guess maybe the notion is because he eventually jumps out of this plane was to take out the engine so that he could clear it and not
like
be
sucked
into it.
Like he wouldn't get
sucked
into it.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah.
And so, you would think...
Hey, just out of, you know, malice, just fucking like, hey, the plane's going down.
Yeah, but also like he's getting shot at and he grabs this parachute and just throws it out. And then he has to jump out now to grab it.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is crazy. Could you imagine doing this?
No, not at all.
He's trying to add a level of difficulty. He's like, not easy. All right, James Caan, break my leg real quick. This is too easy.
James Caan is too hung up at this point because this is where Arnold pulls that knife out of his belt and chucks it at James Caan, and his arm gets like stuck to the wall or whatever.
James Caan, do you have a hammer? Hammer my hand.
And Caan is great right here. He's like, oh, you hit me in the arm with this mail order horse shit.
All right, I'll give you till 3 Mississippi to get your gun.
I'm so tired of playing on God mode.
Arnold jumps out of this plane without the chute.
You think this is a stupid scene? Wait until James Caan puts a gun to the head of the pilot. It's like, hit him with the plane. We're going to run him over with this
guy
plane.
This guy looks exactly like Sully, too.
Yeah, he does. Sully,
well, it's like a Caster Troy move. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like a face-off. That was like that face-off.
I want
scene.
Him, what does he say, like spread across this windshield. Arnold gets the parachute.
It's not a car. You can't just hit someone with a plane.
It's so awesome, dude. You just see this plane turn around, and I was like, oh my God, the plane is actually turning around in this movie. And Arnold, it's so fucking funny, the juxtaposition of this plane, and Arnold is just pulling the levers on this parachute.
We've got a first here on the Skydiving News Network. It's a dark day. Someone was hit by a plane that they jumped from.
That is right. We're getting reports of malicious planes out there, so you might want to check.
That's true. Not sanctioned. Not sanctioned, everybody. Not sanctioned.
Everybody be very careful on your gnarly dives.
Nobody can tell you at this point that skydiving is never not interesting.
So he tries to hit him with the plane. It doesn't quite work out because Arnold Schwarzenegger takes a gun out and starts shooting at the windshield of this plane
and he breaks
while dangling from a parachute.
He breaks the windshield.
The funny thing is,
they don't show you how this plane lands. That's a movie I want.
Yeah. Like, I feel like
split
that,
screen it, dude. Just we're doing, split screen the rest of the movie of them trying to land this.
We are about to blow the CGI budget on one of the funniest, most amazing things I've seen in a long time. So I think they were like, we can't have this broken ass plane crashing.
We can't show the angels carefully placing this plane on the ground.
Well, they're busy placing Arnold on the ground, even though he gets wrapped up in the parachute now and he's free falling again. He eventually does get the emergency chute open, falls on top of a deck of cars, which is great. And then this little kid is an awesome line because then Arnold's just like, where is this?
Yes.
And this kid says, Earth.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Oh, it's so great. These two little like kids playing in a junkyard.
Yeah.
There's a legit junkyard dog that comes
out. That's what you want.
And Arnold basically like gives these kids $50 so he can steal their father's junkyard
truck.
Yeah,
that's kind of bullshit. It's a lot of money for a little kid, but now how is anyone going to eat? Dad's car is gone.
Right. So James Caan is able to deduce. He's like, all right.
Well, he's able to land this fucking plane.
Well, yeah, yes. However that happens. I mean, maybe it was Sully Sullenberger himself.
Miracle on the Hudson. This was the warm-up to it.
Right,
this
is the first one.
The crooked
FBI plane he landed first.
You got an angel in your cockpit right now.
No, James Caan's like, give me that super gun. He shoots through it and jumps through a wormhole. And
he starts playing Portal. they show James Caan like at this landing site, and he's like, all right, I know I know Kruger. The move is going to be meet in a huge public place with a lot of exits. They're definitely going to the city zoo. So we're at the zoo. Closing time for the zoo. Vanessa Williams. Yes.
I don't know the rest of the lyrics.
Time for monkeys to turn around. I don't know.
Well, the monkeys turn on her. That's for. Yeah. She's like trying to hide from James Cotton. The monkey's like, she's right here.
Right. So monkeys. Vanessa Williams is there, like waiting for Arnold to show up. This dude shows up and he's like, your parents are late picking you up. They told me to come get you. And she's like, oh yeah, what's the password?
And she's like, Kruger sent you? Then you'd know the secret handshake.
Yeah.
And she shoots him in the leg. Should shoot him right in the head.
Yeah.
Well, she's not a professional killer.
Yeah, come on.
Well, she does what a lot of people who are licensed to use firearms professionally should do. Go for the leg.
That's a good idea. No,
she should kill him because that's the Kruger handshake. Freddy Kruger. Shake this hand. It's got knives on it.
So these dudes are all like chasing her around or whatever. Arnold, God, this is amazing. This guy does not give a flying fuck about anything. Arnold drives this junkyard truck through like the stone gates of this zoo and just comes in like, hi.
Who is ready to die?
Did you miss me?
They go to the alley. He does have a "Did you miss me" line. They go to the reptile house. She's like having a standoff with people. And he shoots and saves her, and she's like, you're late. He's like, traffic.
Yep. Oh, big time.
Don't worry. We're still having a pretty good time. By the way, I don't wear bulletproof vests in this movie for some reason.
Arnold at this point does get shot by one of these dudes, I think. And there's a thing about like the running out of ammo. She has no ammo left in her gun, and Arnold has two rounds. And then...
This is what the eraser does. He changes the temperature.
Changes it, dude. He flips that fucking script, and he does one of the coolest goddamn things I've ever seen. There is a tank full of computer alligators. Yeah. He shoots the glass of this tank, and these three massive alligators just fall out and start eating these guys. Holy fucking shit.
The zoo doesn't feed them ever.
Immediately. Or they feed them people. Like, that's the only way it makes sense.
This gator immediately knows that this person is food. This one guy gets his head bit off.
I just got a revelation here. Kruger's the one who says to meet at the zoo with this with her, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So maybe he's been feeding corpses to these alligators for years. Yeah,
oh, he's been grooming them for just such an occasion.
Exactly.
My murder gators will get you.
And just when you think...
Go, Gerald, Reggie, and Crisp.
Did someone say gator?
And just when you think this scene couldn't get any more amazing, boy, does it ever.
Well, the one guy gets ripped apart in half. We do have to say that.
He gets shift.
Yes, he does get shift by two of them.
One guy gets like split like a papaya.
Mm-hmm. And one starts going after Arnold, and Arnold is like kicking this thing in the snout and trying to escape. It's like backing them into a corner.
No, Reggie, I raised you. Reggie!
This is what should have happened to Chris Pratt, those fucking Jurassic World movies, by the way.
Blue, look at me.
But there is, oh my God, you guys.
Come on, Blue.
These gators are so smart. Arnold pulls the gun. He's got one bullet left. He points the gun at this gator, and the gator swipes the gun out of his hand with its tail, with its gator tail.
We want what you want, civilization.
Oh, my God.
No need for such cruel devices.
So Arnold gets his gun back. He shoots this thing in the fucking head, this Dr. Doak looking gator, this shitty computer gator. It falls dead and he goes, your luggage. Oh my God, I stood up and applauded.
Wait, hold on, let me get this gator. I'm going to save another gator. I have to erase another gator later this month. I never know when I'm going to get a gator to use.
But did anybody else notice that there is a puppet gator on top of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
and it looks like one of those jelly things you threw against the wall and it would stick. Like, it's really like it's just like waddling, like.
Disgusting. It. If this movie wasn't making me grin ear to ear already, it's one of the most batshit amazing things I've ever seen.
Hypothesis: end the movie here.
Yes.
It should end at the zoo.
It should end at the zoo. Like, add 20 minutes between what we just talked about. Like, just fill it out with something. Maybe somebody's crooked.
A chase scene.
Maybe you get those reporter scenes in there. That'd be good.
Like,
I bet this zoo has a lion cage. Let's go find a lion cage for James Caan to go get eaten in.
Or a silverback gorilla that can rip him limb from limb. Like, he should, like, break James Caan's, like, leg and throw him in something.
You're never coming back. The rest of the movie is totally fine. It never reaches this zenith.
Because it's too insane. It can't be topped.
Have it be like Lovejoy Flanders, like fight the baboon cage.
A train that goes
around the zoo.
I'm into all of this. All of this. Ended at the zoo.
But then it ends with like Flanders getting ripped apart.
These boys have chased me from my beloved Leftorium. I am fighting in the zoo.
Listen, lady, I'm in trouble.
So James Coburn gets like two different stories from James Caan and Arnold.
Yes.
And, you know, James Caan's like, listen, he fucking turned on us. She shot at my men. She killed a bunch of guys. Like, she's crooked. They're in on it together. And Arnold's like, that's bullshit. And he's like, you know, James Coburn's like, well, James Caan already called me, so I already got his story. You're going to have to make up the rest of the movie so I'll believe you.
So, narrowly escape death one more time at least for me, John.
He winds up calling his good friend Robert Pastorelli, and he goes to a gay club. And I will give this movie, it's a C-minus of gay club scenes, but For a 1996 action movie, it's kind of an A+.
It was a ticking time bomb there for a moment.
Because I was like, who's going to throw up?
Fingernails were in the seat cushions.
I was like, oh my God, is it going to be really bad or is it just going to be bad? It's just kind of bad. Like, it's not good. It's just kind of bad.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a drag show going on.
It's raining men.
Sure, cliche. Not out of the ordinary, whatever. Robert Pastorelli has been placed, again, a different witness protection. He's a bartender at this gay bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Mm-hmm. It's 1996. It's Raining Men is playing, and you have a Italian mob guy meeting the man who put him in this situation. This can only go south.
Exactly.
And it doesn't. It stays totally in the middle.
There's like one part where like his friend bartender's like, who's that guy? He looks rough. That's it. That's all we get. It's not no one's like ew or anything like that. Or it's not a Jerky Boys movie, thankfully.
Well, no, thank like God for that.
There's no panic here. Mm-hmm. Like actually, and Robert Pastorelli is like, please don't tell them I'm straight.
Yeah,
you're gonna blow up my spot here.
Yeah, because he's stealing gay valor.
But this is what it was weird because I did not expect Robert Pastorelli to come back in this movie at all. And I was like, where are we going with this?
And then he becomes fucking Joe Pesci in Lethal Weapon.
It's a titch on the Leo side of things. So he's like, I need your help. We need to figure out like what's going on here.
I need someone to pose as a pizza delivery boy. It's very important.
This is some Mickey Mouse where she's like, there's no way you can get in here. And like even James Caan's aware of it. He's like, I want every exit, blah, 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 stuff.
Here's what you do. You pretend, you're a pizza boy? Okay, here's some Alka-Seltzer. You pretend to have a seizure. I've seen this in PCU. It works.
I saw it in my favorite movie, PCU.
We're not going to protest, okay? So take the Alka-Seltzer, go to the tower.
Have you ever seen Parliament live?
P-Funk. Oh, don't wear the shirt to the band you're seeing. Come on.
I want you to blow me where the Pampers is.
I love Jeremy Piven.
The Bird Show. The Wonderful Bird Show.
It's Ultra Seltzer, which is nice product placement of the tablet packet.
And, you know, whatever. They steal the disc. There's a bunch of stuff that happens in this scene. Who cares?
I was confused about one part here. So Robert Pastorelli, like, fakes having this seizure. He has some line about, like, I've got a bad heart, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God.
They, like, these security guards rough him up. He pops the tablet and he starts freaking out. And the security guard is like, oh, by the way, one of these lead goons is fucking Billy Bedlam from Con Air.
Oh, nice.
He's sort of like the main. He's like right under James Caan in the pantheon of thugs in this movie.
He's that weird like demon woman killer from X-Files.
Yes, yes.
That's what I always remember him from. Yeah.
The guy, the lead crooked computer scientist, the guy with the blonde hair who looks like he's one of the lone gunmen.
Yes,
is in The Mask, which is also directed by our friend Chuck Russell.
Oh, Chuck Russell.
That's right. Ooh. Who is he in The Mask though?
He's just one of the
he's
goons.
He's not Pete. The Mask.
he's not Jim Carrey.
Pete, what's his name? Second in command.
Cuban Pete.
So what happens here is this guy is like, all right, chicky boom. This doesn't have anything to do with us looking for Krueger to come through. Take him to the infirmary and call the ambulance.
Well, they're like, oh God, Krueger's coming. All right, give me those caffeine pills.
put on a pot of coffee.
No, I'm sorry.
No, but it's just, this is what I don't understand. So they take Robert Pastorelli.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
To this infirmary or whatever, where we have a not yet famous Cameron Manheim playing this nurse, right? And Robert Pastorelli is clearly conscious right here.
Uh-huh.
And he's got like a little heart monitor thing on, and he sort of like unplugs part of it, and it makes the EKG thing flatline.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, grab the paddles. And he's like, I'm conscious. And she's like, let's do it. Is she trying to kill him?
No.
Or is she just that incompetent of a fucking doctor?
I think it's the second one.
Because it makes no... He's well, also, wide
I prefer the first one, but it's probably the second one.
Because I thought it was a thing where like they somehow, in between carrying him from the lobby to the infirmary, they got hip that he was like with Arnold or something, and they were trying to just off him.
Oh.
Because there's a shot of her like, one more time, let's do it! And I was like, she's clearly trying to murder this.
I think it's
and he's already dead. I think madam, he's already dead.
Yeah,
it's happened twice already. He's dead.
So this is like an in-house medical staff for Cyrex or whatever.
Yeah, they used to work for Disney, and now they work for Cyrex. They killed enough
people.
The
frozen
in the park.
Head died.
Yeah.
Oh finally.
Yeah.
There's a great line. I think it's from Cameron Manheim though, where like Arnold storms in because like Arnold and Vanessa Williams like come in pretending to be the EMTs.
Sure.
They storm into the room, and Cameron Manheim, it's not a great delivery. I do like her as an actor. Sure. Not a great delivery here. She goes, oh my God, terrorist.
Yeah.
And also with this fucking sequence, James Caan glances at the security monitor with the medics coming in, doesn't notice that this one medic is built like a brick shit house.
And the other one is Vanessa Williams with sunglasses yes, on.
It's like, oh, the woman that worked here?
Also, by the way, there was a whole scene before this where fucking James Caan like belittled the head of security. The head of security is like, oh, we're going to get you like 12 guys to help him. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, fuck you very much.
He puts a gun to this dude's neck. And he's like, I'm taking over this operation. And I'm like,
kick him in the nuts or something?
It's fucking crazy. I'm like, what are you doing right here? Don't let everybody in this corporation know you're a villain.
So you're that fucking crazy. You're that fucking nuts. Yeah. And then some weirdo with pizzas comes in. You don't rush him?
No. Like, that has to be a thing where James Caan
like, oh, God.
He buys it completely.
He's like, oh, Jesus, that guy had a heart attack. What luck we have.
Oh, you know what? They opened those boxes. There were real pizzas inside there. There were not a bunch of guns.
All right. Case closed. Who ordered the pizzas? Come on, guys.
So they go up to James Cromwell's office and start hacking the net or whatever the fuck. We're told that there was this $52 million bank. It's to a Syrian bank like in the account owned by the Russian mafia.
Of course.
But the Russian mafia is introduced earlier in the film, so it's not technically like a third act Russian mafia situation.
It's a third act Italian mafia, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, you better believe it.
So, I mean, like, whatever. She gets kidnapped. They get separated. He gets the disc or whatever. He realizes it's all going to take place on the docks tonight.
Right.
She gets kidnapped. Am I missing anything? Not really.
Just a hilarious thing where Arnold uses a security guard as a human shield, which ain't too shabby.
Not bad.
And Robert Pastorelli is like, look, man, I'm going to help you out. You helped me out. You got me out of that trouble with the Asobuco. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my cousin, Tony Two Toes, and we're going to crack this thing wide open. No, 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 no. Once you're a mobster and you rat on anyone in the mafia, the entire mafia, God bless them, are against you.
That's the problem with this movie. I'm in love with this film. This movie has a fundamental misunderstanding of how the mafia operates.
What it should have been was John the Eraser Kruger calls up the mafia that controls these Baltimore docks and says, like, how about an exchange? You help me with this. I throw you this piece of shit. You fucking rip him apart.
Yes, that total dude, if he fucking secretly turned on him and then Robert Pastorelli just got murdered at the end.
If his last words in this movie were, I thought we had a deal, and then he gets shot in the head.
Oh, man.
Yeah. A+.
Yeah, no, man. Totally. He can open his whole book then. And like, well, who else do you want?
But I mean, that's the thing is like that. What I understand about the mafia is they will always go after ex-rats, even if somebody from the mafia is taking their daughter to visit colleges. You know what I mean?
Like that's right.
That's how that works.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If you take your daughter on a college visit, you fucking notice this dude, you're fucking killing that guy.
You make the first great episode of a great series. I mean, that's how that works.
That's
I mean, yeah, but when you're dealing with Frankie Three Nuts or whatever.
Frankie Three Nuts!
Or whatever the fuck. I hate these fucking guys.
Tony Two Toes.
Now, this was... a real fucking Deus Ex Mafia, by the way, because what are the fucking odds that this dude's cousin operates the exact docks where this deal is going down? Are you fucking kidding me?
And it's the guy, it's one of the guy, the bigger gangsters from Casino, that fat dude.
He's in like the Analyze This and That movies or whatever.
It's like if Chaz Palminteri ate too much and then melted.
Joe Fittorelli is this guy's name. Long deceased.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. He had a big 90s.
He did.
Physically.
Is Tony Longo one of the other ones?
Yes.
Is it Tony Longo?
I think Tony Longo is one of the other ones.
Pastorelli shows up. He's like, hey. You're correct. They're like, hey, I thought you ratted out the rest of your crew. And he's like, I did, but those guys were scumbags. And he's like, yeah, it's cool. It's like, nah. Wait, we get to help you and the federal government? Excellent.
If it's one thing the mafia loves, it is being patriots and assisting the federal government.
Do you have a contract we could sign for you?
They were just trying to get like a cut of this action that's happening at the docks.
Yeah, like, oh, $52 million? Where's our piece? You're using my docks for that?
Exactly.
Well, that's kind of the auspices in which they like infiltrate this thing. It's like, you got no union guys on this illegal crime.
Which is... kind of great that at the end of this movie, they're like, wait a second. We have to have a pro-union message right here.
Somebody needs to, for Christ's sake.
But it's kind of weird because I was realizing, I'm pretty sure this is the first time in a movie that I've seen anyway, where like you had... It's not entirely Mickey Mouse, but it's pretty much Mickey Mouse Mafia.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Goofy Mafia.
Sure.
Running up against like... an action movie in such like a hardcore like Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie.
Okay, you know what? They actually kill a couple people.
Yeah.
So they're like Batman the Animated Series level gangsters.
Still cartoon.
Let's give them fair. Let's give them some fairness fair. Though.
But what's from also, Toontown, the mafia from Toontown.
While they are
the Weasels will help me.
While they are executing all those dudes. The look on their face is like, I can't believe we're fucking killing people in an action movie.
Wait, we're in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? Weird. Oh,
shit. That's the thing. You're supposed to be like, they're supposed to be who you like empathize the most with, I think, on screen.
Yeah.
Or them being like, oh my God, this is so amazing.
Right. They're having the time of their lives.
Yeah. It's like if us, the audience, got to go to this movie and kill people.
Great line somewhere around here. I think it might be from Tiny Two Tits or whatever this guy's name is.
No, that's my name.
Jimmy Three Dicks is like...
Nut Luciano.
He's like, keep your heads up and your assholes puckered. Somebody says that. It's fucking great.
So,
it might be a James Caan line, actually.
James
Caan
is there to do this deal with the Russians.
Right.
And he's like going to give the Russians Vanessa.
Well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He's like, hey, look, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Take this woman. And they're like, wait, what?
And then all of a sudden, Vanessa Williams is like back in the movie, like help,
and she's
help.
She's olive oil. She's tied to a chair.
What?
There's
what?
Some rape threat going on here.
Big time.
Yeah. What am I going to do?
Like, I don't know. Do you
money?
Are you an
money? James
are you an
Khan.
Assassin or what? Because that's all I'm looking for is people to kill people.
Kill her. Will you just kill her, please?
There's a great moment here where you realize that like this X-ray technology should 1,000% not be used as a scope on a sniper rifle like this. Because here's this dude like up in a tower, like trying to find Arnold with this thing. And he sees a dude walking around with a gun, and he's just like, nice shotgun, asshole. And he fires off this super weapon, but it's just one of his teammates.
Yeah, the skeleton is a too close of a look, I think.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, nice try, asshole. I saw Total Recall. I saw what you look like in that security booth.
So Arnold's running around. He definitely impales some dude with a pipe around here.
Oh, no, he slays him like fucking like a vampire hunter.
It's another Michael Myers thing, though, because he jacks this dude up against a wall, and the guy sticks there.
Yes.
This is awesome. It's a secret slasher movie.
Vanessa Williams hits that Russian guy, Petrovsky or whatever, the Russian mobster, in the head with a coffee pot.
Oh, that's pretty great.
It's the same guy who played the head of the Russian embassy in Burn After Reading.
Everyone knows that.
And then the mafia shoots the Russian dudes. They come off this
piece of
construction.
Yeah, there's like some crane or something that comes up, and they're like, surprise! Like they're the Lost Boys. And they just start laying waste to all these Russian assassins. By the way, we notice who one of these Russian assassins is.
Who's that?
Our good friend Sven Ole Thorsen.
Oh, that's right. I thought he didn't make the movie, but he made the movie.
He absolutely is. He's one of these dudes with a fucking Kalashnikov.
God bless.
Hey, buddy. I just came out of my erasure screening. Remember when I called you around Christmas? You had anything? And you were like, no, I'm just doing the erasure, but nobody's allowed.
You remember I told you like it was going to be a hard holiday season and the car had to keep going into the shop. And I was like, hey, Arnie, if you got anything, bud, even if it's just a nameless Russian assassin.
And look, I know it was only 20 seconds for you. I understand it. I'm just looking for a bone, bud.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to go on government assistance by becoming governor of Minnesota.
Thanks. Now I'm at my last resort, becoming the governor of Minnesota. All you had to do was hire me to play an assassin. But no, now I'm running for office.
Jesse, I'm the lieutenant governor. No, this is not welfare. You're supposed to do a job. You keep calling it welfare.
Nope. Listen, buddy. I was trying to be an eraser, and Arnie didn't call me back. So now here we are. I'm on government assistance.
Easiest way to get government cheese here, pal,
is run the damn state.
You know, I wouldn't have to give this stupid state of the state address every year if a certain Austrian someone cast me as a Russian assassin. Now,
give me the keys to the vault of the government cheese, buddy. And by the way, I want to know what's going on with that moon cheese.
Everybody, at today's staff meeting, I just have to say one thing. You might notice that Devin is not here. That's because last night he invited me over to his house to have dinner with him and his wife. And when I walked into their entertainment room, I spied a racer on VHS and I went into a fucking furious rage.
And then in another person's house, I saw an actual eraser, and I went fucking apeshit.
That's right, pens only, pals.
By the way, my first act of governor of Minnesota is twofold. One, all blockbusters, Hollywood videos, and mom-and-pop non-franchise video stores have to not sell rentals to the film Eraser. Secondly, the non-U.S. citizen Sven Ole Thorsen is banned from anywhere within the Minnesota state lines.
But come on, Jesse. I just want to see a Twins game. It is crazy that we still have this feud years later.
You know what, buddy? That's what TV broadcasts are for. Get the fuck out.
No, it's blocked out. My channel is blocked out.
Tough titty, buddy. I could have been an eraser, but here we are.
So anyway, Sven Ole Thorsen's in this movie for 6.5 seconds.
Yeah,
for
no time whatsoever.
Just nothing. He does nothing.
Arnold has another fucking great Jason Voorhees move, though. You guys remember when he jumps out of the floor?
Yeah, he does that. Oh, this point, he gets both super guns.
Yeah, and now he's walking like the Terminator.
Yeah, it's well, he does have a I'll be right there, which is very close to an I'll be back.
I was like, my ears like pricked up at the start of the sentence, like, you'll be what? Oh, right. Okay.
No, and right there, not to be back. I haven't been there yet. How could I be back?
But then it's, I mean, it then it just comes down to James Caan and fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger on a crane, like, box.
Yeah, like on a cargo box going to the ship full of rail guns. 50-year-olds
going at it.
How do they even get on top of the box? I don't know. There's too much action happening. We're just there.
Arnold gets shot in the shoulder, and he is totally broken arrowing right now because he's like, boxing, and he's lifting shit up.
He climbs up this crate. I was like, how's he going to climb up that ladder with one hand? Nope, he sucks it up and uses the shot arm.
That's what the eraser's about, man.
And it's kind of great right here. He's like, he tells Vanessa Williams to like grab a ladder, and he shoots like a chain, and the cargo thing falls, and Vanessa Williams is like still hanging from this ladder while him and James Caan crash on this hilarious CGI freighter. You see this thing fucking fall?
Yeah.
Dude, they were a little too cocky with the CGI in this movie.
Governor Ventura, may I please enter the state? My son is getting married. I wish he wasn't getting married to a Minnesotan, but here we are.
You know what, buddy? Two words, video phone. I'll talk to you later.
I just, it's my only son. This only happens once, pal. Let's be friends again.
You got 49 other states to get married in, buddy.
Look, her family is Minnesota royalty. That's all I can say.
Listen, we either have borders or we don't.
Two words for you, pal. Step off.
I have the gift. I just want to see my son.
Good sir, you are an illegal alien in this state. You know what? Last time I went toe-to-toe with an illegal alien, he was called the Predator. And yes, maybe I died horrifically, but he got what was coming to him.
You know Sheriff? Open fire.
Well, you know what? I guess I'm not an illegal alien because I have a work permit for Eraser, motherfucker. That's right. I love being an Eraser.
That's it. I'm having your son arrested. How about that? Charges? I'll figure it out.
Looks like he might have had some drugs on him tomorrow night.
Hey, guess what, Jesse? I almost talked in the movie Mallrats, you piece of shit.
Oh, right, I forgot about that.
I almost talked in that movie.
James Caan has a crazy line here. He's like, say goodbye, John! Fucking weird James Caan delivery.
Yeah,
James Caan, at the very least, is having a lot of fun.
Time of his life, I'd wager.
He's really having fun with this one. Yeah, they fall. They both survive somehow.
Yeah,
but James Caan is like crippled under this like
huge
door
falls on him. Kind of great.
And like Arnold lifts it up. He's like, John, you got to help me, John. Oh, and like the eraser has a heart. You know, it's his mentor. He lifts it up and he pulls a gun on him.
It's kind of a great Arnold's like, I knew it, and just swats this gun away. Very casual. Swatting this gun,
and like that's kind of it. Like, and then like the press is there or something. And you think like that's the end of the movie, and it kind of should be.
Well, because part of me was like, oh, cool. Like he didn't execute this villain.
Yeah,
you know what an interesting twist.
That's a different.
Yeah, it's only to have a more sadistic ending to this film.
Well actually, and then Vanessa L. Williams and Arnold show up and shake from handshake.
I mean, it is kind of crazy that the only person kissing in this movie is James Caan against a dead woman.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's what I was hoping.
That did not test poorly.
That tested actually very well. The audience wanted to watch 15 minutes of it.
It was like, the interracial kiss? Yeah, they almost burned the theater down. Necrophilia? They were fine with it.
Exactly.
So we get like coming out of the courtroom kind of a thing. James Caan hilariously walking with a James Caine. And I guess both he and this Undersecretary of Defense have been indicted for treason. Not half bad.
And they're like, so you win some, you lose some. They get into as they're getting into a limousine, Arnold and Vanessa Williams get into a car, and it explodes.
James Caan has the line, "Too bad she's never going to get to testify."
Oh, right.
Van blows up, but then we look, Arnold, I guess with help from the Ninja Turtles?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because
you just see like this manhole closing back up. So they have
erased... he had to erase their identities.
Right, exactly. What happens when the eraser erases himself, dude? That was the real question.
They did do it for Splinter back in the day.
They replaced Splinter.
That was his first job.
He carried a rat corpse.
Well, the fucking Yakuza was after Splinter, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's actually totally
all
true.
All that coke that he stole?
That is canonical.
So then we see like they're in the limo and the undersecretaries. It's kind of weird because James Caan, like he's a sadistic character, but it kind of goes into overdrive here because he's in the limo and he's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to kill that person. I'm going to kill their whole fucking family. Well, yeah. It doesn't matter.
It's him, the undersecretary, and like the corporate like
guy.
Stooge.
Yeah.
Morehart. And like,
yes, that
and,
is.
And then he's specific. Like, and then, but they're James Conn's like, yeah, no. Now that fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger, that one guy's dead, I can do whatever I like.
Well, yeah, they're like, oh, we're going to get back right back to business. It's like, we're being indicted.
That's what's amazing. He's like, so tomorrow, another $52 million weapons deal?
No. And then like he's like, but by the way, whoever decided to kill Vanessa Williams and Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're a genius. Wait, you didn't? And I didn't. Huh?
And then like the car stops. It is our good friend Robert Pastorelli now playing a limo driver.
Let me ask Rocky and Bullwinkle if they did it.
And like the doors to this limo lock, Pastorelli like closes up the partition.
Did you notice a sweet harmonica sound when he gets out of there? Because it's a little jazzy.
Yep, just a tad. You had that. There's a couple of instances, and I'm surprised there wasn't more on the score of just some real action movie guitar going on.
Yeah, ka-chunk junks. Yeah.
So
I called them ka-chunk junks. Yeah.
Yes. So Arnold
got ka-chunk junk.
The phone in the limo rings. I think is the idea. And isn't this where Arnold says you're erased?
Yes, you've been erased.
You've been erased. And they're like, wait, what? And Pastorelli parked the limo on the train tracks.
And a train comes, and they all explode into smithereens.
Well, and this is fucking Schwarzenegger's problem. Dude. Pastorelli is now his Robin.
Right, yes. But James Caan also gets to see Arnold briefly outside.
Yes.
He's like, I just came to watch. Like, what? Why is he even there?
Just to watch, dude. Yeah. To watch this fucking masterpiece conclude.
But the problem is the last line should be, you've been erased, and then credits, or they were erased. He's like,
but this is great,
well,
though.
We got another line coming.
Great. Well, because it's weird, because Vanessa Williams is sitting in the car. It can't be any more than 100 feet away. Yeah. And she's like, what happened? And he goes, they caught the train. Credits. Oh, it was kind of awesome.
It would be great if he was like, well, that was some kill we just did, right, Vanessa Williams? And she goes, that's we always save the best for last.
I plotted the killing of a high-ranking government employee.
Keep your hands above the dash. If people think we're holding hands underneath the dashboard, they might not rent this movie. It's 1996. Look, man, it's fucked up.
This movie played terribly in Alabama. Oh man, and this movie's over with and it's awesome. And would anybody recommend
it? Sounds like you would.
I fucking totally would, man.
I would too.
Two tits up.
It's a lot of fun. I remember seeing it in the theater in the 90s and being kind of like, meh, because I feel like I was hitting Arnold fatigue because that's all I watched all the time.
Right, sure. Yeah. And by 96, I mean,
yeah,
shit.
I mean, this almost felt like a spoof movie of his. But I watched it again the other year, and I watched it for this, and I loved it both times. So definitely, it's reinvented itself in
my hangover movie.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Without question.
Absolutely.
Just fantastic. The perfect length.
Yeah,
just the amount of stupidity.
It's a little long. I will say it's a little long. I do think that there's like if this really ends in the Crocodile House, it's in the top five Arnold movies. It's like maybe top five, top six.
Yeah. But like the changing, I like the changing settings, like that they chunk it together like that, like big sequences like that. That's a great hangover because that gives you a lot of times to cut for more fucking advertisements.
Absolutely.
So I get a fucking nice 4-hour thing going with this 2-hour thing.
Oh, totally, dude. TBS would have a fucking field day with this movie, without question.
This is post-wedding shit.
Listen, Jesse, the receptionist, can I at least go to the cocktail hour?
Hey, you know what? I got a cocktail, buddy. It's called fucking ammonia and bleach. Drink that shit somewhere in a Dakota, my brother.
We used to be friends, Jesse.
Yeah, well, you know what? My family had to sleep in the snow on Christmas because I lost a job to you. You selfish Swedish fuck.
Guess what? You send me up all the leftovers from the catering. You got yourself a deal.
That's Eraser! From 1996, directed by Charles Chuck Russell. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com. Find us over on the HeadGum Network or, of course, over on patreon.com/WeHateMovies for all sorts of extra bonus shows like our show The Nexus, which is Star Trek chat, Animation Damnation, which is shitty cartoon chat, commentaries, all sorts of stuff.
We just dropped our episode on America's Sweethearts, which is excellent. People are giving rave reviews to that. And we're just about to drop the Twilight Mentary, which was done as a power hour for 1 hour.
Right.
That's right.
Which is when we drank our faces off.
So apologies all around.
Mm-hmm. We don't know if it's even listenable yet.
But the good thing is we're not dead.
Yes, we
survived. That was really, really what the positive we've taken away from all this.
So check that all out. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Find us on Twitter at WHM Podcast. And of course on Facebook, Facebook.com/WeHateMovies. Now, Steve Zadak, as far as I understand it, the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza rolls on next week.
Yeah, it's a quieter movie. It's just about a regular adult pitcher. Oh, wait, no, wait. It's not an adult pitcher. It's a child who's pitching baseball.
Wait, what?
It's Rookie of the Year. We'll have to figure out that mess next week.
So until next week when it's Rookie of the Year, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.